Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Trillia Newbell. Trillia is on the show today talking about how a little story goes a long way. Based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. We are chatting about God's Word, which is the greatest story ever told, and it's true. But reading it can feel complicated and daunting. It can be hard to know how or where to start. Perhaps you just need a friend who follows Jesus to help. Trillia is on the show today sharing a joy-filled, thoughtful, and realistic pathway through the entirety of God's Word. She's a trusted Bible teacher and lover of the Scriptures, and she's chatting about her book, 52 Weeks in the Word. Join us as she guides us through God's Word and the greatest story ever told. Hello, Trillia, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. And I love your title, Love Offering.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it all stemmed from what do we have to offer to the Lord? And we all have so many different things, but we can all offer His love because He's given us His love first, right?
I love it. I love it. Yes, amen.
Yeah, thank you. Well, so today's conversation is about how a little story can go a long way. Based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you've written 52 Weeks in the Word, which is a companion for reading the Bible in a year. So I'd love to hear how you first fell in love with God and His Word.
Oh, well, that is a story for sure. I became a Christian at the age of 22, so I was a young adult. Someone shared the gospel with me when I was 19, and it took a couple of years for me to submit my life to the Lord, and I was humbled by a few things. And I remember coming to the church, and have you heard the hymn, Rock of Ages?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a line in it, wash me, Savior, or I'll die. And I knew at that moment that I needed Jesus, that I needed a Savior. And so when I submitted my life to the Lord, He transformed everything. He transformed my desires and my mind and my loves. And one of the things that I didn't know much about was the Word of God. And so I wanted to get to know Him. And so from that moment on, I've been on a journey to get to know the one that I've submitted my life to. And that's when I fell in love with His Word. I just wanted to get to know Him because I didn't really know Him. I just knew I needed Him.
Yeah, my story mirrors yours in many ways. It wasn't until I was saved in middle school, but it wasn't until I had my son who's 13 now. And I remember sitting in, you know, nursing him and sitting in the rocking chair. And it's like, at that time, I didn't really have social media. And I don't know. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with my time every 3 hours for like 30 minute increments? And I just started opening up God's Word and having just this quiet time with Him. And it was the first time I really just spent time with Him in His Word. And I can absolutely attest that that's when I fell in love for the first time. But I think for so many, and I've heard this, and I don't know if you have, that often our study of God's Word, it starts as a discipline. Mm-hmm. And then it moves into a desire, and then it eventually becomes our delight. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's certainly been true of me. And so I'd love to know, like, has that been true of you? Would you say something similar to that?
Absolutely. And I just love that. Discipline, desire, then delight. Amen. Yes, but I would say that's in seasons. So there have been seasons when it is a desire. The discipline takes a little bit more effort. So I have to wake up and put it in my calendar and remind myself of my need for the Lord, mm-hmm. because there's so many other needs and other things that are grabbing for me. So I would say that, yes, that's exactly how it's been. But it would be a lie if I said, oh, I'm consistently all the time, just, mm-hmm. that not fighting to get in the Word. There are moments and seasons where it has been a fight for me, mm-hmm. to get into God's Word and to stay in it. But it's always been a desire and a delight. It has taken work at times for it to remain a part of the daily routine, just because of different circumstances.
You call yourself a forever student. And so what keeps you hungry to know Jesus and His Word more?
Well, I am a forever student, and I think what keeps me hungry is that I keep reading and I keep realizing how much I don't know. Every time I open God's word, I learn something new. Recently I was in Obadiah and realized I had no clue what was really going on. It made me hungry to know, okay, what's happening here? And why am I a little confused about the names and the name changes? And why are they calling him Jacob? And what's happening? And then I went back to Genesis and understood a little bit more of the context. And those are the kinds of things that I often have to do. So yes, I am a forever student and I love it. I love that we will never exhaust learning about the Lord, and for eternity we'll be learning about him. And while on earth we have his word to grow and learn, and I don't know Greek or Hebrew. So yeah, I'm going to be forever learning.
I have an 85-year-old friend who still reads scripture almost every single day. And she's like, there's always still something there for me. 80, I've been reading it for 70 some years, and there's always something for me there. And I'm just so encouraged by that.
That encourages me too. I don't know how old this friend of mine is. She might be in her 70s, but she would come consistently to Bible studies that I'd lead. And I was thinking, this woman has so much wisdom, and here she is learning from little old me. And she knows so much about the scriptures and about the Lord, and she would be so humble. And she said to me, and it's inspired me. She goes, "Well, I'll be learning for the rest of my life." And I was just like, "Yes, we will be." So I'm glad that you too have someone like that to look up to and to be a kind of an example and a mentor in many ways, because I do believe forever we'll be learning forever. So how do we stay in the word consistently? I do like the way you kind of framed it. We got to start with discipline. I think we have to build a habit, and then when desire and delight do come, it will be an urging and a reminder. Oh, if we stray from that discipline, we'll want to go back. And so I think sometimes people equate discipline in good works as legalism. And I'd like to push against that and say legalism is anytime you are trying to earn God's favor, your salvation before the Lord. That's what legalism is. If you are going to the word and you find yourself going motivated by legalism, don't stop reading the word as a way to fight that legalism. Get into the word and learn about his grace and learn about his love. And that is going to help you to return to his word filled with grace and not be motivated by trying to earn favor that you already have. So my suggestion would be, some people need to add it to their schedule. We add all sorts of things. We add exercise to our schedule. We add lunches to our schedule. Let's add the Word of God. If that's what it takes, put it in your schedule, put it in your calendar. Another thing is that I am a get up in the morning and read first thing in the morning, typically. That's typically my time. However, there have been other times when the day got ahead away from me, or I woke up a little later than I hoped to, and I will take a walk and listen to the word. And so there's lots of different things you can do. There's no rule book. I know of friends who have prayer closets, and they go into their prayer closet, and that's when they have time with the Lord whenever they can. And then others who read at night. So it's not about this is my rule book, but about finding that time and trying to return to it consistently. I laugh sometimes when I think about this, because most of us, not all of us, are coffee drinkers, and we aren't going to miss that. We get up, we put our coffee on, we drink it. And if we can do that with coffee, we can do that with the Word of God.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be hours, you know, and I think that that's it's like, okay, you have 5 minutes while your coffee is brewing, spend the 5 minutes and then just continue to watch it grow. And I don't know, sometimes I'll wake my daughter up and son up late for school a little bit, and they're like, "Mom, were you just really into your Bible this morning? Is that why?" And I'm like, "Yes, that is actually why." I was just
That's
like,
so sweet.
I was still learning something, and I love to, and I'm so encouraged by the fact that, because I think so often it even holds us back from sharing God's word or teaching or serving in certain ways because we doubt what we have to offer, or we think we don't have enough Bible knowledge, or we don't have a seminary degree. We don't know Greek or Hebrew. And I was just encouraged by the fact that you said that. Here you are, a teacher of the Bible, and you're like, look, there are things I don't know, and that's okay. And that encourages me in so many ways.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. I don't know. There are few people who know original languages and can interpret without the help of someone else. So we are all in the same boat. We are all trying to learn and grow and that it's a glorious thing. And often when I do teach, especially if it's in a small group setting, if I'm teaching in a conference, it's different. But in a small group setting, I'm learning from others as well. And so it's a good thing to remember that you just haven't arrived. And I think it's a good thing for all of us to know, remember that too. There isn't some special knowledge or grace on people who are given the gift of teaching. Maybe that's the gift, but that doesn't mean that they're not digging in and learning. That's exactly what most teachers are doing. And we're all in the same boat, learning together.
Yeah. Well, I found a study, Trulia, that was conducted by the Ponce Foundation that found that over 2 billion Christians in the world, out of 2 billion Christians in the world, less than 30% will ever read the entire Bible. And the fact is, over 82% of the Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays while they're in church. So I know we've kind of talked about the disciplines and the weight, but what do you think is prohibiting us so much from, like, do you think we're just scared we're not going to understand it, or we feel like God's grace is like going to cover us and it's okay and
Yeah.
He's going to love us anyway, like we're just apathetic? I mean, what are kind of some of the excuses that you've found, or I
Yeah.
don't know, that, or maybe you yourself have made?
Yeah. I have seen there's several things that I think. One is that we are apathetic. I think often we go to church on Sunday, receive that word, and then move on and don't think about God, don't know or don't see our need for Him. I think that's a definite possibility. The other thing I think is that we can be culturally good and spiritually dead. And so we don't really know our need for the Lord and maybe don't even know Him. I think there's a lot of proclaiming of Christianity, but is there a true relationship? That I don't know. And I think that that is a reality that I think I see a lot of people who are culturally Christians, so they're good, but just don't know the Father. But I think the majority of us are just busy. And we let our busyness keep us from the Word. We get up and we get going, and there's kids to feed and people to take and this to do and that to do and we for we just busyness can suck that desire and that discipline completely out. So it can be a fight to remember that we need the Lord. But also I put in 52 Weeks in the Word, a companion for reading through the Bible in a year, which is the book that I wrote. I put a chart at the beginning so that we can see just how much time it actually takes to read. And you would be surprised. You could probably read all of Galatians while you're waiting for your coffee to brew. I mean, it's just they're short, You at least First John for sure. So, or Jude definitely.
Right.
You know? So I think that we can allow that also to be an excuse. We are definitely a busy people, a busy society, and individualistic, all the things. But we can allow that to be an excuse to keep us from reading because we think it takes longer than it actually does. And once we get a taste, kind of like what you have, you get a taste, you taste and see that the Lord is good, you start to desire it. So we've got, I think we need to get that taste. Like, oh, that's right. I need the Lord. I want to know him. And then we will continue to go back to it. So those are the three reasons that I think.
Well, it's our daily bread. It really is. And on the days that I do read the Bible versus the days that I don't, my whole, my circumstances may be the same, but my heart is definitely not. My heart is definitely just filled with him and his perspective. And so, okay, so reading the Bible at all, let alone reading in a year, I think can feel really daunting. It just, especially it is a big book and there's so much to understand in it. So how does your book help make more a realistic pathway through the entirety of God's word? Like you've simplified what's supposed to be like we've complicated, I think.
Oh, good. Well, that's encouraging. I've given every day some reading prompts that helps simplify. Okay, read this, and then little spaces to write. You talked about journaling, and I believe that really helps people to actively read, and that it engages the heart and the mind. So there's little places to write thoughts about God or questions or something to follow up with, and then I give a rest day. I also give 52 reflections, so devotional type reflections or prompts or different things that I was learning as I read, to kind of break up the brain space so that you can have someone else talk to you for a minute. And so those are the different things that I have done in this particular book. One of the things that I intentionally didn't do was put dates on it. I didn't date it. And I did that intentionally for a few reasons. One, if you do miss a day, just pick up where you left off. There's grace to do that, and you don't feel this anxiety. Oh, I missed a day, so I'm never going to read again. And that's what makes Bible reading in a year typically hard, is that people miss a day and then they think, I'm done. I can't catch up. Well, with this, there's no dates. So just pick it up, and if it takes you 2 years, so be it. You're in the Word. Praise God. And then the other thing that I did was, you can say you are in Leviticus and you've read Leviticus. Leviticus in my Bible reading plan is only a week. And if you get through Leviticus and you think, whoo, I need some gospel, or I need a brain break, you can skip to week 46, or I believe it's 46, and start Matthew. You can do that. There's a little bit of flexibility in the way you use the book as well. And I did that also very much intentional. So hopefully it's a companion, a true companion to reading through the Bible that's filled with grace and joy and leads to delight. And so that's what I'm hoping for. And I believe it's fun to hear people who have started already using it. And they've benefited. It's helped them to stay in the Word and to be encouraged. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I'm just thinking about maybe the person listening that doubts that the Bible is even true at all or relevant for today. How would you encourage them to believe differently today?
Well, that actually takes faith. So, yeah, so I could tell you the Bible is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. I can preach all the scriptures to you, but really what you need is faith to believe. So that's my prayer, is that you would believe that the Lord is real, that the Bible is living and active, that God has spoken it into existence, that it that he has a word for you in it, and that you can get to know him through it. But it does. It's a faith is a gift, and I pray that anyone who is kind of doubting, is the Bible even necessary or relevant or worth my time? Start reading it, and I think you will be delighted and intrigued to learn more. So yeah, I but it takes faith, and that only can come from the Lord.
I've been reading Angie Smith. I had done her Seamless Bible Study years ago, and I'm reading her Woven. It's a book that takes a seamless story of the Bible. And it's been so good for me. And you know, as you're kind of in the Old Testament, it's like three-fourths of this woven book, and she keeps saying, like, just wait, you're going to get to the New Testament. Just wait, there's good news coming. Just wait, like, and it's so true, you know. And I even imagine in your 52 weeks, like, okay, if Leviticus is hard, if Exodus is hard, just wait, like, Jesus is coming, you know. And I think that there's so much hope in that, hope for him, and just to continue going. But really, like, the Bible is just, it's God's love letter to us, and it really is the greatest story, true story of all time. And even more unfathomably, it's like we get to be a part of this story, right? And I think that by reading God's story, it changes our view of our own story. And so, what do you have anything to speak on that? Like, when we read God's word, how does that change how we live out our own story?
Absolutely. Well, I'll say this. Okay, so the Old Testament is 75% of the whole Bible. So it's a lot. But it all points to Jesus. So if you look for it, look for where you see redemption, where you see mercy, where you see grace, where you see justice, look for where you see only the cross can fulfill this. Those are the kinds of things that will encourage you as you're reading through. In terms of your own story, it's kind of the same thing. I did a Bible study on, I wrote a Bible study on Hebrews 11. And one of the fascinating things about the Hall of Fame of Faith that I learned as I wrote that study is that they are all so fallible. Like, not all of them had this strong faith. Some of them doubted even. And I'm like, Lord, you are so gracious. If you are the same God of Moses, that's the same God of for Peter, that's the same God for Trillia. I mean, this is the same God. God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, is the God now. He is the same. He doesn't change. Then you would potentially count us as in the Hall of Fame of Faith, because we also are broken and we doubt sometimes and we struggle, but you've given us these people to inspire and encourage us in faith. And so that is just one very specific way that I think, wow, when we look at these stories, we see God's character, we grow in understanding what it means to walk with God, like Enoch, and how he walked with God and he pleased him. We understand, oh, okay, so this is what it can look like to please the Lord. But we understand the gospel, that redemption of that he is a redeemer and he lives, and that he redeemed us and he redeemed them. And that we are all like they were waiting. We are now waiting for his return. So there's so much, I think, that we can glean and be encouraged by when we read the word and understand the whole storyline of scripture. And so I'm really grateful. I'm grateful and that it's a gift, that the Bible is a gift. He didn't have to give us this his word, but he did. And so what a gift. I just pray I don't neglect this gift.
Yeah, me too. And I'm just speaking of Jesus. Jesus, when we read the New Testament, well, the Gospels, he told so many stories. That's really how he taught, that through the parables. And I think we can learn so much through story and sharing our stories. And so I would love to just hear how you have seen a little story go a long way in your own life. This is kind of a question I'm tailoring each week according to the devotion. But for you, how has a little story gone a long way in your own life?
The first one is I was at a cheer camp leading the camp when this my young assistant sat down and told me the story of the gospel. She told me the truth of the gospel, and that transformed my whole life. And I often think about her because she's a stay-at-home mom of six, and how her impact on my I'm writing books and helping thousands of people know the Lord because of her one act and her one act of faithfulness. And I hope that inspires everyone. Like anyone can share the gospel. Anyone can, that's the best story, the greatest story. And so that's a little thing that's not little in my
A little thing that God took a long way.
That little thing that God took a long way.
Yeah,
But in turn, I remember when I was in college, I after I became a Christian, and it was I started doing kind of campus evangelism, and I remember sitting under this tree with this young gal who was really shy, and I was terrible at sharing the gospel. I just didn't know what to say, and we never know what to say. And I remember telling her about my story and then telling sh saying, "Hey, may I share the gospel with you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." And then I shared the good news, and well, she gave her life to the Lord. And then she shared the good news with her parents, who gave their lives to the Lord, who then shared with their kids. And I was like, only the Lord can do that, because it wasn't perfect. It was probably broken English. I mean, I was just like, here's the story of Jesus, and here's a little bit of my story. But that those are that situation, it's just amazing how the Lord used it. And so I think anyone can have that little story, can have that story, and that goes a massive long way towards salvation. So.
I mean, I think that that is probably all of our stories for those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Somebody was obedient and faithful to share the story with us, right? And so that's how it continues to live on. That's our task. That's the Great Commission, right?
It is.
In so many ways. So, Trulia, thank you. This has been such a joy to get to meet you and be encouraged and inspired by you. So I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure the listeners are going to want to. So tell us how we can best do that. Get your book, listen to your podcast, all the things.
Thanks. The easiest thing to do is just find me on my website at trillianewbell.com. So if you can spell my name, which is the hardest, you can find me, trillianewbell.com.
Okay, and we will spell that and put it in the show notes. But again, thank you so much for just walking us through the Bible, God's greatest story, and for helping us to believe that a little story can go a long way.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Trillia Newbell. We hope that today encouraged you to believe that a little story goes a long way and to believe in the greatest story ever told. This week, your little task is to share a story from the Bible with someone else. Talk about how God is speaking to you through the scriptures. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to at Rachel Adams Author on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter
And all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes. You can read the blog series. You can purchase significant merchandise. You can download free resources like the guided journal, the list tracker, and the conversation guide. And you can leave a review. If this podcast has been an encouragement to you in any way, I would be honored if you would leave a rating and a review so other people can find and hear this love offering message. Next week, my guest is Debbie DeFuke. She is on the show talking about how a little interruption goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.